Good morning. Welcome to the first LBNA meeting of the 30th Alaska Legislature. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Kawasaki.
Here.
Representative C.
Here.
Representative Espanos. Representative Johnston.
Here.
Representative Ortiz. Vice Chair Josephson.
Here.
Senator McKinnon.
Here.
Senator Bishop. Senator Diesel.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Here.
Chair Stevens.
Here.
We have a quorum to conduct business. I call the organizational meeting of the 30th Alaska Legislature, Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to order. I will serve as the honorary chair as we elect the chairman for this legislature. Are there any nominations?
Madam Chair.
Senator Hoffman.
I move that Senator Gary Stevens, as chairman of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for the 30th Alaska State Legislature, and move that and ask that he be appointed by unanimous consent, and that nominations be closed.
Are there objections? Seeing and hearing none, congratulations, Senator Stevens.
Thank you very much. Just a note, Senator Bishop is online. Senator Bishop, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me here
yes.
on the roll call?
Yes, we'll add you to the roll call. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, our first meeting, a couple of issues I might bring up just very basically, and that's a slight difference for me to adjust to in the difference between the the Ledge Council and this committee. Just so you know, the only time we call upon the alternates is if we do not have a quorum. So we'll take it at ease until we achieve a quorum. And I do want to make sure that Senator Von Imhoff and Representative Ortiz know that they're welcome to sit at the table. Please do involved in the discussion as much as you want. The only requirement is you cannot vote if we have a quorum before that. So let's move right on to the election of our vice chair, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I nominate Representative Andy Josephson as vice chair of Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for the 30th Alaska State Legislature, and move that and ask unanimous consent that the nominations be closed.
Thank you. Is there any objection? If not, the motion passes unanimously. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair,
for being with us. We'll move on to the minutes, and your first duty then is to Representative Spanholtz is here. Thank you for being with us. Representative Joseph.
Yes. I move that Legislative Budget and Audit approve the minutes of the January 13th, 2017 meeting as presented.
Thank you. Any objections or corrections? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. We have a couple of presentations today from Dave Teal, our Legislative Finance Director, and Chris Curtis, our Legislative Auditor, and then we're going to go into an executive session to talk about our consultants. So let's begin with Mr. Teal. There you are, David. If you please come up and take a seat, identify yourself, and we'd ask you to discuss your division's interaction with this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm really here just to introduce myself. I'm David Teal, Director of the Legislative Finance Division. We are a nonpartisan group of fiscal analysts, and our interaction with the committee on a day-to-day basis, I recognize a lot of faces, and I'm sure you recognize mine from Finance Committee work, and on a day-to-day basis, that's my interaction with you. As a committee, LBNA committee, our interaction is primarily with revised program legislative, commonly known as RPLs. They are interim requests for additional authorization to spend money, mostly federal receipts, but other funds as well. When the administration has additional money coming in, they ask you for authority to spend that. We review those requests and send them on to you, post them on the web so that you can see them, discuss them at your meeting. Typically, I review those RPLs with you at the meeting. And that's the extent of the formal interaction. And, of course, the interaction on an informal basis occurs all the time. We're available to the full legislature upon request.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. And how many years have you been in this position?
You don't want to know. It's, I think this is 20, but I'm not sure. It might be 19.
Well, thank you for all of your efforts and your knowledge, expertise. Are there any questions of Mr. Teal? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll move on to Chris Curtis, the legislative auditor, and again ask if she would talk to us about her interaction with the LB&A committee. Thank you for being here, Chris.
Hi, for the record, my name is Chris Curtis, and I'm glad to be here to introduce myself and some key members of my staff that you'll be working with over the next 2 years. So again, I'm Chris Curtis. I am your state auditor. I've been in this position for just over 5 years and with legislative audit for almost 25 years. I'd like to introduce Stacy Nyland. Stacy is our administrative manager. She will be assisting you and your staff with booking your travel. Division of Legislative Audit is your fiscal staff to this committee, so we handle booking of the travel and reimbursing the receipts. I also want to introduce Richard Radford. Richard is our communications specialist. He edits all the documents, including the reports that come out of Division of Legislative Audit. He's also maintained your website. This committee has its own website. He will help post the contracts, the contract reports from your contractors, meeting minutes, agendas, that type of thing. So if your staff has questions, that would be your key person to contact. Since this is an orientation type meeting, I thought it would be a good idea to go over responsibilities of the committee. And I understand that you've been given a memo that I presented to Senator Stevens that outlined the responsibilities. The committee's main function is to provide the legislature with fiscal analysis, budget reviews, and audits. In that regard, statutes give the committee several powers, and these include the broad power to review revenue projections, state agency appropriation requests, and the expenditure of state funds, and the fiscal policies and procedures of the state government. The committee can make recommendations. Recommendations can be made to the governor and the legislature as appropriate. The statutes also give the committee oversight responsibilities and in some instances designate the committee as the primary representative of the legislature. The memo that you have summarizes some of these lesser known powers and responsibilities. Committees over the years have exercised these to a different degree at the discretion of the chair. It's an awfully long memo, 10-page, and it's just there for your information. Also want to take the opportunity to go through and introduce the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee Handbook. I believe you all have a copy of the handbook. The handbook includes the authorizing statutes for the committee and your two permanent staff agencies, which is the Division of Legislative Audit and the Division of Legislative Finance. As provided for in statute, the committee is authorized to adopt rules for the conduct of its business and procedures for its functions. If you turn to page 39, you'll see the beginning of these formal rules, and including when available, the date it was adopted, and you can see some of these go back to the 1950s. Some of the more significant areas, at least from my perspective, is the approval and release of the audit reports, approval of the audit request, and some general administrative type of things such as contracts, how the committee is going to handle contracts, how it's going to be reimbursed for travel, that sort of thing. I want to take the opportunity to discuss the confidential report release procedures that you'll see on page 47. Statutes make the audit and performance review process confidential. It is important that you and your staff take the precautions necessary to protect the confidentiality of these documents. The reports should not be copied or distributed for any reason. Reports are released in a two-phase process. At first, they are brought to the committee as a preliminary report. I will bring them to the meeting. I will distribute them at the meeting, and I will discuss them with the committee during executive session. During executive session, I go through the recommendations and conclusions of the report. After the committee comes out of executive session, you will vote whether to release the report to the agencies that we are being reviewed for their formal comment. Their formal comment then comes back to me. I will review it. And this, at this point, the report and their comments are continue to be confidential. I take their formal comments, make it part of the preliminary report, bring the packet back to the committee as a final report. The final reports will be delivered to you ahead of the meeting. During session, you will get them at least 2 days before the meeting. They are still confidential. They will be delivered to you in a sealed envelope marked confidential. They will be on blue paper. That is so you can distinguish this confidential document from other types of documents you may have on your desk. Again, we will discuss them during executive session, and after exiting executive session, a vote will be taken on whether to release the reports as a final public document. Are there any questions about the confidentiality procedures?
Just to clarify, confidentiality mm-hmm. ends, would you repeat that, when does confidentiality end?
Through the chair, the confidentiality ends after the report is released as a public document by the committee.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, just wanted to then provide a current status of audit work. You should all have a memo that has a matrix on it of the current audits that are in our hopper. We have 6 performance audit requests. We have 11 sunsets to complete in 2017, and we have the FY16 federal and financial audits. We prioritize audits that have statutory or legal requirements. That is the sunsets that have a statutory requirement and the financial and federal compliance audits. We conduct performance audits as resources allow. It is unusual to have so many entities terminating in 1 year. So 11 entities have termination dates in 2018. So those audits must be done in the year before they terminate. We knew that this work was coming due. We did make accommodations. I do believe all of these audits should be released by the end of the year. The performance audits, there are 6 of them. The oldest one is related to MapMade. It is a 2008 audit request. We were asked at that point to follow the disposition of assets and report on whether they were disposed in accordance with laws, regulations. There was one piece of property that had not been disposed of. And we did find out this week, and I saw it in the paper today, that the final piece of property in Palmer was sold. So now we can tie that audit request up this year. The next oldest is an audit of the Testamina overhaul and refurbishment, and this was requested in 2014 by Representative Osterman. We began this audit. You can see it's 15% complete. We then put it on hold as litigation started. I was informed this week by DOT that litigation has completed, and I can now move forward with the Testamina audit. The next oldest is the Board of Game Advisory Committee. That was requested last year, I believe, and then the next 3 were requested this last December, and those include the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, which you may have read about, and the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation. Again, we do start these audits when resources allow, and I do not believe we will be starting a performance audit until late fall. And since I'm talking about the audits, I'd like to talk about the status of the FY16 financial and federal compliance audits. Last May, I sent a letter out to those charged with governance of the executive branch. That would be Pat Pitney with the Office of Management and Budget, the Commissioner of Administration, and the Director of Division of Finance. Let them know that I anticipated the audited statements would be significantly late and that legislators would not know the audited balances when they came to session. Also informed legislative leadership. When session started, I sent another letter out updating legislative leadership, including the chair and vice chair of this committee, on the status of the audits, as well as the governor's office. We have not received draft audit statements, draft financial statements to start our audit. There are plenty of audit work that we do without draft statements, and that is progressing. But due to the implementation of the new state accounting system, it has been difficult, as we anticipated, to prepare financial statements. I anticipate getting them within the next few days. After we get them, I believe it will take another two and a half months to complete our audit. And if there's no questions on that.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. Any questions?
Senator Hoffman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question that I have is in regards to the Tustamina overall and refurbishment audit. Since there was a lawsuit and it was delayed, substantially delayed, does the premise of the need for that audit still exist? And I believe that question should be asked of Representative Osterman. Do you know if the need for the audit still exists?
Senator, through the chair, the audit request had to do with the trouble, challenge the state had in getting the Tustamina back in the water and the problems with its vendor.
I'm sorry, would you pull it a little closer?
Just sure.
And the problems with what?
The audit request had to do with the challenge in getting the Tustamina back in the water several years ago when it went through its refurbishment and the problems with a vendor that was responsible for doing that work. I would like to take the time to understand what the results were from the litigation, which we haven't had a chance to, and I will be coming back to the committee to describe what the settlement was and where we're at on that, as there are new issues with the Tustamina that have come up. I'd like to discuss whether the committee wants to continue to go forward with that, because it is the committee's decision to alter that or approve me to go forward or alter the request or terminate the request. I can come forward at a different time and provide an update, as I haven't really had a chance to contact the department about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. And let's do that. As soon as you're ready, let's sit down and talk about it and decide where we need to go.
Certainly.
I'd like to point out Representative Ortiz is with us, and thank you for being here. As an alternate member, glad to have you at the table. Thank you. Yes, Representative Alessandri.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It does have me thinking about just some of these audits were old audits from prior legislatures, and is there a process for which to basically, you know, 1 year you wanted the audit, next year there's a change in leadership and they don't want the audit. Is there a process to say we do no longer need the audit? And, I mean, in the case of the Tustamina, it makes sense that it's probably not something we need to perform now, but.
Representative Kawasaki, through the chair, there are procedures, formal adopted rules of procedures, how to terminate an audit request, and it does take a vote of the committee. Historically, once an audit is requested, it would take something of fairly significance, as opposed to just a change in leadership, because there will always be a change in leadership. But if for some reason litigation has been settled or the need for the audit goes away, we have definitely over the years terminated audit requests.
And then I have another question. On a separate. You perform the post audits for ADA, Aerospace Development Corporation, and HFC or something like that. When are those post audits available for members?
Representative Kawasaki, through the chair, I do not perform them.
Oh.
I think there's a reference. Some of the outside corporations, I do approve their auditors that they hire. So those audits, final drafts of two of the final drafts of Aerospace is not available. I know that right now. And they are typically, all of the outside audits are typically available by mid-October. There's been a delay in several outside audits this year, which is further contributing to the problems with the financial statements.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kawasaki. Senator Bishop, if you're with us, do you have any questions?
No, I have been following this. I just, only thing on the Tustamina, I think what drove the whole discussion originally was the some of the welding procedures were in question, and, you know, Chris is going to find out real quick that thing might heal itself after she does her due diligence and not need to do that anymore.
Okay, thank
that
you.
Audit.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Further comments from the members of the committee? And does that conclude your comments?
It does. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Curtis. Plan is now to go into an executive session to discuss contracts for consultants, and we can have a motion to that effect. Representative Joseph.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move that legislative budget and audit go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1 for discussion of matters the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of a government unit, and 22B3, discussion of a matter that may, by law, be required to be confidential. I ask that the following individuals remain in the room: Chris Curtis, Doug Gardner, Emily Nauman, and any legislative staff working for committee members.
Thank you very much for that. Is there any objection? If not, we'll now go into executive session, and of course, any legislators, please remain in the room if you care to. And we'll wait till we clear the room. Executive session, we're back in the regular meeting, and appreciate everyone, the discussion that we've had. It was very good. And now we're ready to move ahead and make a decision. Representative Josephine.
Yes, I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit approve Amendment Number 1 to the Professional Services Contract with Analytica Incorporated in the amount of $20,000 for the period of February 1, 2017 to May 31, 2017, and the Section 040A1 exemption per the Alaska Legislature procurement procedures.
Thank you. And just to make things absolutely clear, talk about the reason for doing that. We're nearing the end of these contracts. At the end of the month, it's a time issue, and we have got to have somebody to advise us if we need them. I want to make sure that we're covered during this time until we have additional contracts. Any further discussion on this motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, if you would put on the record that the contracts that you would negotiate have no cost if we don't use them.
That's a very good point. Yes, all of these are as we need, as needed, and there's no automatic monthly stipend there. If you are ready for the question, we'd ask for a roll call, please.
Representative Kawasaki.
Yes.
Representative Seaton.
Yes.
Representative Spongles.
Yes.
Representative Johnston.
Yes.
Vice Chair Josephson.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Diesel.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman. Chair Stevens.
Yes.
Yes.
So, and the vote is it 10? Do you announce that?
Nine.
Okay, nine. All right, good. Thank you so much. Well, the motion passes then. Let's move on to the second motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that LBNA approve Amendment Number 1 to the Professional Services Contract with Hart Energy Publishing, LLP, for the period of February 1, 2017 to June 30, 2017, and the Section 040A1 exemption per the Alaska Legislature procurement procedure.
Thank you. Again, I'll note that justification, this is an as-needed contract, and we won't not spend any money if we don't actually need them. The contract is expiring. There's an issue of being covered, the legislature having advice it needs until we move on here. So any further discussions on that motion? Roll call, please, on the motion.
Representative Kawasaki.
Yes.
Representative Seaton.
Yes.
Representative Spahnholz.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Josephson.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Bishop. Senator Diesel.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Chair Stevens?
Yes. Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to the third motion, Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that LBNA approve Amendment Number 1 to the Professional Services Contract with Roger Marks for the period of February 1, 2017 to June 30, 2017.
Thank you. And again, just to remind, as part of the record, that that this is an as-needed contract, that these contracts are, expiring. We need to have the legislature covered. And further discussion on that motion. Roll call, please, on the motion.
Representative Kawasaki?
Yes.
Representative
Seaton?
Yes.
Representative Sponholz?
Yes.
Representative Johnston?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
Senator McKinnon?
Yes.
Senator Weasel?
Yes.
Senator Hall?
Yes.
Chair Stevens?
Yes. And that motion passes unanimously. Again, just say that we're going to do our homework and get this information back to you as quickly as we can on these other options that are out there to us, and we're adjourned.